On this episode of Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are joined by Chris Jacobson to talk about his event Dark Side, happening Sunday, February 24th at Emporium Wicker Park. All that and more on this week's episode. Dude, these last 3 weeks of the week, what'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley.
I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? It's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And returning guest for a second episode this week from us, too.
Yeah, right? Like, we're doing kind of almost back-to-back episodes. We were at Spiteful, like, almost 48 hours ago. Mm-hmm. We're back in the studio on a roll with these guests in 2019. I'm excited about that. Uh-huh. Probably setting the all-time record here.
I know, right?
Frickin' Chris Jacobson, Chicago Hardcore Craft Beer. What's up, man?
Not much. I'm happy to be back and doing my thing, and I don't know how many times is this now, like four?
Yeah, four or five, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
so many we've lost count.
Tis the season, you know, Dark Side's coming up, you know, and we're here to talk about that and other things.
Right, of course, other things, and I guess we always have to start with the beer we are drinking. Mm-hmm. So we got multiple things we're pouring right now, so.
Yeah, we got the pint glass, we got the stemless wine glasses.
Right. On the haze lighter side, we have the Tropical Witch from Half Acre, released a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, just in time for the Vortex.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then, Chris, what'd you bring us here?
Bourbon Abominable, which is actually a barrel-aged winter ale from Fremont, which I believe they're out in Washington.
Seattle area?
Yeah, Washington State.
Seattle Earth. This is the 2012 one. It's got a nice little maroon wax on it.
Yeah, I've had that, I mean, obviously, since 2012, but it's. I figured it was like a crappy day, and we're dealing with a lot of snow, so it makes sense. And it's dark, so it is a dark beer.
Yeah,
so
it's got the Winter Yeti on it.
It's tasting pretty good. It feels a little like maybe there was more there previously, but it doesn't taste like really infected. It just kind of tastes maybe not as big as it was.
Yeah, it's actually it's tamed a lot over this past 6 years. it's really good. I've loved this beer for a really long time. It's exceptional fresh, but now, especially with some time on it, it's still very good. I kind of actually feel like it drinks a little bit easier. It's not as boozy.
Sure.
So it's a little bit easier to get down.
Yeah, looks like it's a 15-year-old American oak, and then a blend of 7-month barrel-aged oak barrels.
So American oak and then barrel-aged oak?
Wait, yeah.
No. Yeah. Okay. Barrel-aged oak. They put the oak in the barrels.
Did I say barrel-aged oak?
Yeah.
Fuck. Sorry, guys. A 7-month-old bourbon. Oh, they blended the beer. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Got it. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So. I haven't had much from Fremont in general. I always hear good things, and people go to them a lot. But I don't, just being in Chicago, I don't often get to try them.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I got this because a friend of mine went there, and he brought some bottles back, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. I also have another friend that actually went there, and he loved all their stuff. But yeah, I haven't had really much anything outside of the Dark Star, which is like a stout. I think with coffee, and they also barrel aged that, but then also the bee bomb here. So
yeah, they were at Half Acre's party.
Oh, okay.
They were Gone Away, Far and Away.
Far and Away.
They were Far and Away.
Nice.
Yeah. The Tom Cruise film?
Is that it? Was Far and Away a Tom Cruise film?
Yeah, with Nicole Kidman actually.
Man, Nicole Kidman was getting it done back in her day. Well, getting it done. She had to be all every bit of 6'3" with them heels on. Mm-hmm. It was quite nice. Yeah.
So I guess it's fitting then we have the Half Acre beer with them. Perfect. Nice. All right, so this past week, Nick, you got at it.
Yeah, man, we hit a couple breweries, man. Where did we go? We ended up at Makuzala. I hope I'm saying that right. Up in Wilmette. It's actually like Glenview border, right? So just North Burbs. It's a buddy of mine I work with was telling me that it's the family that owns Hackney's. And they, so it's right next to the restaurant, and they turned the facility where they like washed all the cloths for the tables and stuff. They turned that into a brew house.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's kind of strange because like you roll in and, you know, Hackney's is right here. The sign's off the street, and then you can order food, and then they just, you know, they wrap it up. They walk it right over. Then you can order everything from the Hackney's menu. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So, okay. I went to go check it out. Operation's probably about a year old now. They're doing straightforward like pale ales and IPAs.
And is this, you said, off the train? Is it off the CTA train or the Metro train?
I was hoping it was off a train, but it's like actually like, you know, because Wilmette is where the Purple Line stops. The last stop's Linden and Wilmette.
Mm-hmm.
But this is actually like 6 miles due west from that stop.
Okay.
So it's really like right off the expressway, you know. So
Is it near that little suburban tour you guys did months ago?
What we did, we party pretty hard that night. I forgot to tell you. I had a blast that night.
It was like, what, 5 stops? Six stops in 3 hours?
I'm like, Chris, we should probably do 3. He's like, yeah, all right. So we're doing 5. You know, and we hit like Crystal Lake and Scorched Earth are the two that pop out right away. Mm-hmm. And then Roaring Table. So I got 3. What were the other two?
Well, we went to Duke's first.
And Duke's. We started at Duke's. And Duke's is really cool. That's the one off the train.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there was I'm missing the 5th. But
McGonagall's. And that was only because he missed the train.
Because we missed the train. So we went to this Irish pub after that.
Okay.
That was good. That was a good night.
Yeah.
So that's a little more, this place was a little more north.
This is a little more, I guess this is just off 94.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, right off 94, right? But it's North Shore.
North Shore.
So this is before you hit like Highland Park and Lake Forest.
Okay.
These are the towns before that.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was a good start. We were so far west that I'm like, well, shit, how far are we from Hubbard's Cave, you know? And it's like, oh, we're only 3 miles. So we're like, well, fuck it, let's roll.
Oh, jeez,
so
okay.
We landed at Hubbard's Cave, too. Unani.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite beer there, usually it's the Hubbard's Cave stuff, but they had one. Man, I got to pull it up. It had currants and vanilla, and it was so nice. It was one of the sours. It was kind of like had that really dark purple hue when
I think
you poured
it. Was like one of the Le Sewell or Seal or whatever.
It's one of the latest
like
ones,
Grand
man.
Cru, Grand Reserve. I think I had that one because it was delicious.
We were talking about how like, well, I forgot the term you used, but it's like, you know, batch 5, version 14. Like they don't really stray at all. They don't really get into details with the names on this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they still have the skid marks on the floor when you walk in?
They still got the skid marks. There's a really cool use of the space because the barrel program's like, right, you walk into the front door and there's enough room for 2 seats. Behind the 2 seats is like, you know, 6 barrels. 6 barrels right when you walk in. And a full cubby hole from ceiling to floor of all their bottles you can buy.
And we were talking about them and Jerry after the Spiteful interview and how he did a good job pivoting from Belgian beer thing that he does really well just wasn't working, and he kind of went more the sour and even the Hubbard's Cave stuff with the haze and the big IPAs, and it's kind of really made that brand what it is now. It might not be here.
I tell you, man, like rest in peace Bader Brown, man, but you know, they had a brewer that had worked at Lagunitas, you know, and I would ask him all the time, why didn't, you know, can you get at least a couple runs of an IPA on, you got like, you know, 13 handles, and you know, they just said, no, fuck you, it's a German beer hall, this is what it is, right? It's easy to just stick to your guns, but
right.
Yeah, Unani is a nice example of when you have to pivot, how do you do it, you know?
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Nice. Anything else stand out? Did you pick up cans? Of course, you and the lady love those haze from them, right?
No, man, no? I didn't even pick up anything, man. I was so, you know, I was a little trash, man. This thing is called...
that was stop number 2 of your...
I'm trying to find the name of it, man. We're going to get to it, man. It was really nice. But anyway, and then I ended up at... what started all this was, hey, you know, I haven't been to Temperance. It's one of the closest breweries to me. I never go to Temperance. Let's go to Temperance. It was Might Meets Right Day.
Yeah.
At Temperance. And that's what got me out of the house.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you went way to the suburbs first.
Way to
closest closest brewery to your house.
Might as well go.
Let's
out
go far.
And then we'll make our way back.
And we'll bring it back. See, I'm glad we're all on the same page about this, man.
All right. So then Temperance, how was that?
Temperance was a packed house for Might Meets Right. You can get the 4-pack. And then you can try them all on draft.
Okay. Yeah. What were the variants?
Let's see. There's the OG, right? That's the Heaven Hill Barrels, the Mike Meets Right. And then there's La Sorpresa, which is like vanilla and cinnamon and spice, you know, kind of a pastry thing.
Okay.
And then there were two more. One was a cherry almond biscotti with coffee. That was good. Ipsento coffee, and they were there pouring.
Nice.
And then the last one was a blueberry maple one.
Okay.
So four top. And then all the four packs were mixed four packs. Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of nice.
That was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I like that
part. What were the four packs running? 25?
No, they were 35. You can get two. You could spend 70 on some barrel-aged beer.
$35 for a four pack.
For a four pack, yeah.
That's impressive.
How much were the pours going for?
A little more, little better. Little like seven okay. for like what? Maybe six, 7 ounces. Something. Okay.
About a buck an ounce.
Yeah, nothing too crazy. Yeah, yeah. Last time I went to Temperance was to see Slick Rick.
Okay.
You know, that's the last time I went. So I'm like, dude, it's 2 miles away. I gotta
go. Were more people out for Slick Rick, or were more people out for Mike?
There was no room in this joint, like at all. Yeah. So it was really impressive turnout. Yeah. On the Mike Meets Right, man. We were talking in the pre-show. It got on my radar because, like, in 2014, the Boulevardier barrel-aged version, you know, took a bronze at FOBAP, and I had it in line last year when I was waiting for more stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm like, hey, let's go check it out. Yeah. The blueberry maple was the most interesting one to me, you know, just as far as like being the most memorable one, right? Like big syrup and big fruit to go with everything else. Yeah, and then but the almond cherry biscotti one, if you line them all up, you knew that you tasted the coffee first. You wanted to taste like biscotti and the almond, cherry almond first, but you really got it was coffee forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that, Chris, is that something you run into for Dark Side, like needing to find those big ones that have like the most memorable flavors that people are like either chasing or like walk away and be like, yeah, that one with blueberries and almonds was the best.
It's definitely changed a lot in the past couple of years because now that pastry stouts have become so big, everybody wants something different. Like if you come to the table with just a regular stout, people are like, where's the rest of it?
Yeah.
Okay. Which is, it's sad to think about that. Like, unless you're putting your entire pantry into your beer, people don't really care. So some of the stuff that we're going to do this year definitely takes that that direction. But we also have some non-pastrified beers. But yeah, definitely. Like, you need to find those beers that are like, well, it's got 14 different ingredients in it. It's got to be good.
Right. And I could taste every one. Yes. Yeah, that gets stuck. Because, yeah, when you, especially just four of them or your event where you're taking them with this whole tap list, it's like, yeah, they can, you know, you have 14 different ingredients. Your palate gets racked very quickly.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like we as humans can only taste so much, especially when it comes down to beer. Like after two beers, our palates are pretty much... I don't know. I want to say beaten down, but like we can only taste about half of what we should be able to. So like your first couple of sips is pretty much the best you're going to have all day. So if you like, oh, I could really taste that blueberry. Like, no, you can't.
Right. So this is Nick's third brewery stop.
I'm like, where's all the stuff, man? I don't taste it. yeah, I got one at home, so I'm kind of curious to see how that holds up to when I had it.
If you remember it the same.
Correct. Okay. I remember it the same.
Nice. Yeah. And then you made your way over to Spiteful. And this.
And I saw you there and Sergio.
This was our day two at Spiteful.
Yeah. So we blew the date. We thought, you know, we planned for Friday, but we told them a date that was a Saturday. So we showed up on a Friday and we had to go back and hit up a Saturday, which ended up being cool, though, because
Friday we went to Spiteful. We had a drink there. And then we went over to Alarmist for some haze and some tacos.
Yeah, three-legged taco was there. That was cool. So that was a good time.
And we learned about their Love Juice.
Love Juice, yeah. So Le Juice, the gold medal winning Le Juice,
yeah.
The haze. This will be the cask variant that has double dry hopped with tons of strawberry, tons of chocolate, and on cask for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So actually, that doesn't sound bad at all. I'm not that far from...
There you go. You should check it out.
Sound bad
you should definitely overshoot it by 50 miles first, and then
you
go back to it.
I should go to microphone first, and then on the way back, there stop, you go. Stop an alarm.
But yeah, then we went to Spiteful that night of your four brewery tours, did our interview with Jason.
Yeah.
That episode turned out great. Check that out on our feeds and everything
like
that.
Yeah, I got to listen. I'm going to listen to that tonight. Yeah, it was interesting, man.
We learned a lot afterwards that we needed to keep the mics rolling.
Chicago Beer Pass After Dark, man. I think it started when he first showed up.
Every time. It's like always be recording. Like some of the best stuff happens in the 15 minutes after we're done recording this.
Yeah, you just run into shady things about either people or dealing with the city that, you know, might not want out there.
I think they went from 400 square feet, which is still hard to imagine, but
400 square feet. That's most Spiteful, right?
That was their original.
It's a closet. I remember seeing it. I'm like, how do you guys even operate?
To like 7,000 square feet. How they kept the old tanks, and you know they're running a lot of stuff off those, and then they got the full production. The lager is their top selling beer.
Yeah, and then you mentioned Beta Brau. We talked a little bit about them afterwards, and we were talking about the rent at the Beta Brau location and. Jason couldn't even fathom the amount of beer that they would need to sell to meet the rent that was needed at that location. Mm-hmm.
I really hope, and even he was saying, like, during the, Illinois ICBG, like, meetings, one of them was at Beta Brau, and everyone was kind of stunned at how gorgeous the space was. Like, I'm really hoping that something happens with that space, you know, because it's such a cool space.
Well, there's a possibility that Stone was going to get in there and have, like, a Stone World Bistro Chicago. I don't know where exactly that was, but what happened with that. But I know it went up for auction. I just don't know who got it.
I just hope it doesn't turn into, like, condos or something. Because, like, from just purely aesthetics, brewery space standpoint, it was really cool. It was a very cool space.
Yeah, I think condos would be weird because it's the hospital right there, right? It's the hospital?
Hospital is, like, a block or two away.
Right, yeah. So
this is right off the expressway, like, I don't know, 25th and Wabash.
It's probably not zoned for, or it'd have to... It just probably doesn't work for condos.
No.
But you never know what could happen.
So speaking of places and things opening up and whatnot, there's actually a place that opened up out by me last weekend.
Algonquin.
Well, this was actually in downtown Dundee.
Okay.
This place is called Black and Gray. Now, they were showing all these different beers that they were going to be tapping for like the day of. But when we got there, they had six beers on draft, which is good. They're all lighter beers, though. So we had like a Belgian blonde, like a Saison, a New England IPA, which they didn't do the water chemistry, so it wasn't really a New England IPA. It was just a really juicy IPA. And no dark beers, which is weird, because I kind of feel like that was a missed opportunity, because it's cold. But
because it's cold.
It's cold. It's February. But, you know, one of the things is, like, they don't really push the envelope much at
all. Black and Gray?
Yeah. And some breweries that are coming out aren't doing that, which is totally fine. You don't have to be a microphone when you're putting, like, chocolate cake, Rice Krispie Treats, doll hair.
Something like that every week. That's they're hanging their hat on, like, really bizarre.
Just let's, you know, throw the kitchen sink in there. Like, so I appreciate that. But at the same time, if you're going to do those types of styles and you're just going to be, you know, a bare bones kind of brewery, you need to own it. You need to really do it well.
Crystal Lake would be a good example of that.
Crystal Lake does do it really well, and they are, for lack of a better term, very safe. They're a very safe brewery. They do some barrel-aged stuff, and they also have a couple of, like, fruited things here and there, but for the most part, it's very much straightforward beer. Yeah,
like us. The fridge brewery, I think that's what Spiteful called themselves. Like, we're the beer fridge. We're the beer fridge brewery.
Right, that's Spiteful's, like, goal. That's kind of their MO, too. It's like they are guys who just like beer, so they want to have beer that tastes like beer.
Beer-flavored beer.
There's a lane for that. There is a lane for that, to your point.
Yeah, and there should be.
Yeah.
I mean, it's honestly, like, I made a joke on one of the groups this probably like 2 or 3 weeks ago where I actually took a glass of stout and I put two Swiss rolls in them, like just full on, just in there, and I took a picture of it, and I was like, pastry stouts these days be like, and everyone's like, oh, well, actually, that looks delicious. And I'm like, well, yeah, of course it looks delicious, but whatever. And then I'm like, microphone's probably eyeing this post like, yeah, now we're talking. But honestly, like, you go to Microphone or even some of these other breweries that put, you know, 14 ingredients into their beer, and it gets so cloyingly sweet. It's like super viscous. It's almost like motor oil, and it's too sweet. Like, you kind of want, you feel like you're drinking the milk left over after your cereal, but you've had like 10 bowls of cereal. It's just so rich.
Sometimes it's not fair. Sometimes it's not cool when it's like overly sweet.
Yeah. But, you know, to each their own. I mean, obviously people, there's a market for that too. But one of my concerns with that, I mean, now that we're actually in Flagship February, is that people are constantly looking for something crazy and fucked up like that. Like, they want, like, the next crazy thing. Like, what else you got? What else you got? And then you got to the point where a lot of brewers aren't even brewing beer that they want to anymore. It's based on what they
can sell,
want.
Yeah.
And, I mean, obviously, at that point in time, you've got the whole, like, you want to brew what your market is going to purchase. But, you know, what happened to, like, Founders Brewed for Us? Instead of, like, you determining what we're going to brew now. Like,
right.
I want that's a beer with zebra cakes in it. Someone's going to make it. Like, that's just weird. Like, and the fact that they're pushing breweries to come out with something new almost, like, every week or every other week. To the point where these recipes aren't perfected.
Right.
So you get this beer that could be crap, but people are like, I don't care, it's new. And like, you know, it's going to get to the point where it's just like, we got some unfermented wort if you want to suck on that too. But, you know, it's getting a little out of hand.
It gets to the point too where a brewery could just change the name and call it something else and you're not going to know because...
The Cupboard Cave?
Yeah, because I think they got into a rut where like the distributor didn't want them to be known. They're like, you're known for your Belgians and your sours, so don't bring us an IPA. And
yeah,
they disagreed. So mm-hmm. They had to.
But you could just you could name it Number Two, or you just change the name completely. It's like half the people probably didn't get a chance to buy it last week, so here it is again, new name, and a good portion of those people are probably going to buy it again. And yeah.
This is an interesting conversation. Like, how do you keep brewing? Do you brew to what's trendy, or do you brew what you dig? Right? Because everyone's got these wacky beers on it. Like, I don't know if people dig these beers that they're making. I don't know.
Well, like, this Tropical Witch is good, but mm-hmm. I don't need more of it. Like,
I need more of this beer.
I'm fine.
The whole can,
yeah,
right?
There's a whole can of it. Like, I'm fine with
you
it.
You did take some of this can, right?
That beer's great.
No, I'm saying like...
Yeah, it's right here.
Okay.
No,
it's right here.
Because I poured the rest of it in there, and I'm like, there's no way in hell that glass is like 23 ounces, and it only filled it up halfway. Because, yes, you did take some. Okay, I'm like, just want to make sure I wasn't dying or going crazy. Mm-hmm. Or more crazy. Sorry.
But fine. It's good. It just maybe doesn't stick with you years later where it's like... That beer was a defining moment, or like that one I remember, or the Flagship February kind of thing. Like,
it'll always come back to the basics, right? Like, I think the first thing we did when we went to speaking of Half Acre, we went to Half Acre, and one of the first things we said was, "Hey, where the fuck is Gossamer?" Right?
Yeah.
You know, and then even with you know, like I think that Spiteful, that Malevolence Chocolate Caliente Stout. I mean, it's as good as anything I've had all year, but their top selling beer is a lager. Right, you know. Yeah. So I think it'll always come back to the basics, you know.
But well, I think drinkers will always come back to the basics. I mean, think about your journey and how everyone else is kind of like, you started off kind of easing your way into beer, and then you're like, what's Dark Lord? And you're like, whoa. And then you go far into that spectrum, and now you just are like, give me a Pilsner, you know, give me a Kolsch. Like, I'm digging on Pilsners and Kolschs right now, and like, you want to impress me, give me a 100% awesome, like, pale ale. Give me a Pilsner that'll, mm-hmm. you know, rock me, that I can drink at 4.9% all day long and not get, like, hammered or feeling like, you know, I'm dying. Like, you want a good
We're talking about death a lot in this show. Everything.
But that's what Jason mentioned. I don't know if it's on the podcast or afterwards. He said he goes to a place and he orders a Pilsner, mm-hmm. like, or a pale ale. It's like, if it's a new place and you can't do that, I don't want your haze. Right. I don't want your stout.
Yeah, I mean, anyone can fuck up a hazy beer and still make it taste good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to brew a true-to-style like Pilsner or Pale or Kolsch, like Salamoth Lou, mm-hmm. awesome Kolsch.
Yeah, they came up recently, and I was like, dude, Brad, every time Brad brings a Salamoth beer on the show, it's always money.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Like, because those guys dial it in. They do it extremely well, and they're not trying to reinvent the wheel. They just make good beer.
Right. Yeah.
So that's what would impress me. Like, not necessarily getting in line for an imperial stout brewed with 700 pounds of coconut and, you know, 14 packages of Oreos. You know, and even this, like, it's a double IPA with lactose, coconut, and vanilla. Well, I actually give Half Acre props for doing something like that, because for the longest time I thought Half Acre, although makes great beer, is almost a little one-noted. Because like they all kind of have that, like, hoppy, floral characteristic. So many IPAs.
Right, a little, like, West Coast-y.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're, yeah, I think with that sour program they're doing and some of this hazy stuff they're doing, trying to find a new voice even.
Yeah, yeah, that's big for them, especially because they essentially converted the smaller brewery to and dedicated to sours, if I'm not mistaken.
Sours and tacos.
Yeah. Burritos.
Wraps. Come on, they're wraps.
Yeah, they are. Honestly, I was really upset that they don't sell the breakfast burrito all week long. That, we need to change that. I need to contact someone. I want to write a letter. Who writes letters anymore?
I'm not even. Still, no. You gonna stick it in the suggestion box?
Yeah. A 14-page letter just crumpled up and stuck in there. This is why you need the breakfast burrito all week long.
I'm like, this is more than one page. We're done.
Yeah, someone's gonna be like, the fuck.
That's what I would do.
Man. One page. If it's one page, I'll read it.
Anything else you make it to, or was that it after?
Oh, man. I think that was it, man. Yeah, Makuzula, Temperance, and Unani. Nice. Yeah.
Cool.
And, solid one. Spiteful.
Yeah, twice.
Did you go anywhere?
Spiteful twice.
Spiteful twice and Half Acre. Stopped in Half Acre. It's right next door. Oh, and Alarmist. So, yeah.
Alarmist, they changed their Pantsless. Pantsless, which was their flagship, their Pale Ale. It had like four or five different, you know, malts and hops, and it was reminiscent of, for me, Alpha King. But they changed it. Now it's like full on. Like,
changed the hop note a little bit.
Now it's like straight mosaic, and on cask it was crystal. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice.
Good week. Good full week.
Standout favorite beer you had?
Man.
You drink a lot. Do you remember? Yeah. One day.
Yeah. I really like Pantsless on cask, and I really liked Malevolence. I thought Malevolence was really good for them, especially after having like the corporate guy wheat wine, and having the working for the weekend, the double IPA, and having the lager. You know, for them to get out and do that Mexican hot chocolate thing, and then nail it like with, I've had so many syrupy sweet stouts lately that I thought that just rolled the line perfectly for me.
Yeah,
mouthfeel, body, and spices. It was nice.
I didn't try that one. I stuck with the lager and the IPA. I did have the, if it's too loud, turn it down. There.
Yeah, you had the brown ale. And that's when I got to thinking, like, man, these Spiteful boys are making, like, they're making straight up classic styles. Yeah. It's kind of, it's refreshing. Especially being next door to Half Acre like that.
That, I think, was my favorite in the, like, looking back. At the moment, I was kind of like, oh, it's a brown ale, it's fine. But looking back, it's like, oh, that was good. I remembered that more than maybe some of the other stuff I drank in the week. So,
yeah.
Spiteful's brown. Chris, what about you? Favorite thing you drank?
What's the first thing that comes out when you think of that?
Favorite thing I drank?
This past week or so.
Well, okay, so every Monday night at my house, I have a bottle share, 7:30. I've been doing it for 9 years straight. Like every Monday, 7:30, my house.
Jeez.
Yes. So last night, I had a Funky Buddha beer, which is like probably the second Funky Buddha beer I've ever had in my life. Yeah. A friend of mine actually brought it back from Florida. And it was called the Love Below. And it basically, it's an Imperial Russian Stout that had, it tasted to me like a cream saver. You know, like you ever had one of those, like Lifesaver cream savers, where it's like some sort of fruit, but it also kind of has like a creaminess to it. It's like a swirl design.
Oh, yeah.
So this tasted like a chocolate-covered cream saver. It was delicious. It was fantastic. It was really well balanced. Like, so I'm not a huge fan of cherry in my beer, especially my stouts, because that to me is like, if I taste cherry, it kind of is reminiscent of it being infected.
Right. Okay.
So I'm generally like, you give me a stout with cherry, I'm going to say no, unless like it's really good, because it's either super medicinal or it's completely.
That's kind of like everything. No, I don't want that unless it's really good.
No,
hey, man, if this
I've had some really bad cherry beers.
Really good, man.
Really bad cherry beers. Like I don't,
cherry,
I usually don't like
cherry is the culprit more than other fruits. I will agree with that.
So I mean,
it's easy to cherry. I like sucky cherry beer.
I like cherry in like sours, but or anything maybe lighter, but especially in stouts. That's number one thing. It's like this just reminds me of an infected stout.
Okay.
So it has to be really good in order for me to like it. And this was actually really really well balanced. It's got to be. Shut up. It's true. I'm not gonna like it unless it's good.
Okay, fair enough.
But anyway, it's really, really fantastic. It's well balanced. It's got a good chocolate note. It's got a little bit of like booze. It's creamy. It's very smooth on the mouthfeel. It was a fantastic beer, and that was probably my most loved beer probably of the last week because it was just fantastic.
Love Below.
Yeah, nice. The Love Below.
Love Below.
Great name.
Yeah, cool. All right, so coming up, Dark Side.
Yeah, man, I think there's, you know, mm-hmm. we enjoy seeing you, but...
I enjoy seeing me, too.
You know, a big reason we have you on is because you throw this killer winter party every year, man. Just like a couple weeks after the Super Bowl at Emporium, you know. Mm-hmm. It's the kind of party that just makes sense, the kind of party where I'm like, man, you know, I kind of wish I'd have thought of this fucking party. It's a good time. It's on a Sunday morning, and it's all dark beers, man. Talk about Dark Side 2019, man. What can we expect, man?
Well, it's actually not in the morning.
It starts
at noon.
Noon.
So it goes noon to 5.
That's still next morning.
Oh, yeah, no. It's close enough to the morning.
It's on a Sunday. Yeah, that's, yeah.
It's close enough. Honestly, I have to say, I came up with this idea back in, 2012 now? Because this is the 7th year.
Oh, wow.
And honestly, it is like the only event that I do annually that I help plan and like produce. But the people at Emporium like really make this thing happen. Like these guys, the staff, they always have all their bartenders there for that day. It's super crowded, super packed, but not like asses to elbows that you can't get around. We generally have about 250 people. Our capacity is 300, but I can't imagine having 300 people in there because it would be a little too tight.
Yeah.
If we ever do get to 300, great.
Now you're like standing on the stage.
Right, like it's going to get a little crazy. But yeah. So everyone, every time, every year that people come, they always have a no trouble getting beer. It's pretty free flowing. But honestly, like the guys at Emporium, Jared, the beer buyer Eric, like the whole staff, the fact that they even have this facility, they have they redid the bar in the other room, like where the pinball machines and stuff are. So it's like newly renovated over there.
Okay.
But they like kill it. And so I mean, yeah, I came up with that idea a long time ago. But if it wasn't for the fact that they exist. And they were so cool about it, it would not even be what it is.
Right, okay.
And I like that it's at the original Emporium. Because the second location is more like canned focused. Like, I don't even think they got taps at this.
No, they don't have any.
It's just canned. That's kind of their Logan. That's kind of their thing. Cans only.
Like we got cans only.
Except for the little pop-up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, pop-ups are really cool. They get really fun. Yeah. But yeah, the Dark Side of the series is going to be just another one in the books. I think it's going to be great. We actually, I just finished the tap list today. So we're actually going to have a few things from Four Hands, the Madagascar, which is like a crowd favorite.
That's the one that kicks.
It's the first one that kicks every year. So we've got the regular Madagascar, and then we've got two of the brewery-only stuff, which is Coco Coconut, and then the El Salvador, which is made with the coffee.
Yeah.
So we've got three versions of Madagascar that will all be on from get-go.
Nice.
We do have barrel-aged Imperial Pajamas from Beguile, but it is going to be pastrified. So we're going to spike it with some stuff. We haven't figured that out yet, but, I mean, we've got about a week.
So it'd be a special, like, just for that.
Just for that.
Okay, nice.
So we also have a Epic Big Bad Baptist on Nitro, which is another beer that has a lot of different things in it. It's a Mexican hot chocolate sort of thing, but never had it on Nitro, so I figured why not. We will have Founders KBS. It's one of my favorite barrel-aged stouts ever. We will have the Midnight Orange and the Proprietors from the 2018 Bourbon County lineup, so we will have two BCS.
You know, Prop is the only one that either I'm at a bar and it comes on too late, or I never saw it in bottles. Like I don't think outside of the party we went to, I don't think I've had Prop since the first time I had it.
Okay. So
that's the chocolate. This year was chocolate.
Yeah, it's like chocolate triple
BCS.
Chocolate.
Triple chocolate BCS.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. We'll have some half acre animal print pecan pie and also half acre benthic.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to have two different types of dino s'mores. We'll have regular dino s'mores and coffee dino s'mores. Perennial Abraxas and Perennial Sump.
I'm going for that coffee dino s'more.
We're going to have two beers from Solemn Oath. We're going to have the barrel-aged Goldman, which is kind of like a Mexican hot chocolate.
Ooh, okay.
And then we also have the Crunch Dude, which is a salted caramel brown.
Mm.
So that's some stuff that was pretty unique that I really wanted to have out for this. We will have Barrel-Aged Darkness from Surly. North.
Have you had that?
Barrel-Aged Darkness? No.
No, me either.
And then two brothers actually reached out to me wanting to be a part of this event, and so they brought out some brewery-only stuff. So there is a keg of the Northwind Imperial Stout with coconut, and then as a backup, we have Northwind Imperial Stout with coffee. And that was tap only, brewery only, so we were able to get a couple of cakes of those things.
Nice.
And then as a special treat, that's not all of them.
Oh, that's not even the special stuff.
The special thing is that we're going to be doing on the renovated sidebar, pretty cool ice cream. You guys heard of that?
No.
Well, we're going to have four different Pipeworks kind of ice cream beers. So the Jones Dog Sundae, Spumoni, Jones Dog, Cookies and Cream, and then the Pothole City. And then Pretty Cool Ice Cream is actually going to have four different ice creams that were made with and to pair with the beers.
Hmm. Nice.
And that'll be available on the other side by the on the other bar.
Okay.
So it's going to be a little bit different this year. We're trying to do something that we've never done before. And like the guys at Emporium set up the whole Pretty Cool thing. And so it sounds fun. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good time.
Yeah. That does sound pretty cool. It sounds like you got I didn't mean to do that.
Got in your head.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
You got some experience with you were talking about what was it, flannel pajamas where you're gonna like pastry-fy it. Mm-hmm. I wanna say we went to a party at like Fountainhead where you set up, I think you were behind like their whole idea for the night, right? Where it was like take these stouts and then make kegs and then make drinks on the spot, essentially, right?
Yeah, so that was actually Beguil and Cletus, who was the chef at the time. They make a Schwartz beer that's pretty much essentially a dark beer. And so then they wanted to spike it for the 8 days of Hanukkah.
That was it.
Every single time, every night, you open up a new candle of like the menorah and you have every single night prior available as well. And then the last night was the barrel-aged version. So you had eight different variations of this beer that you can have. And usually we were infusing it with something different, whether it was like a s'mores version of it, or it was going to be, like chipotle pepper and chocolate, or straight up just regular coffee, whatever it might have been. Like it was straight up just to experiment with adjuncts and beer, which I've been doing for years. But now everybody's doing adjuncts and beer. On a large scale. Yeah. So, that was kind of one of the bigger things that we did because it was a week, like an entire week long event. Yeah. And I was there every night, which was, crazy.
Did you go to it or did we talk about it last time? I feel like I was there.
You were there
about two years ago. Okay. I think 2 or 3 years ago you were there.
Yeah.
And then we actually talked about being on the show while we were there.
Yeah. I do like Fountainhead.
Yeah, Fountainhead's a great beer program.
Fun spot.
Yeah, nice. So, how much are tickets? You still get tokens, right?
Still get tokens. The first 200 people are going to get, a bag with a hardcore craft beer bottle opener. You get your taster tickets, tokens, and tickets pre-sale are through next Saturday for $30.
Okay.
And then tickets at the door are full price at $40. And so I'm trying to get people to understand, save some cash, get your tickets now. Let's go. Because when you show up at the door, it's $10 more. Just if you plan on coming out, just, get them now.
Right.
Just save some money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What beer are you most excited for on your lineup here?
Kronbacher Pils. No.
Got that Kronbacher.
Honestly, I'm not really sure. I think for the majority of it, it's probably going to be the two half acres and then the two Solemn Oaths. I can't really choose between the two because I've never had either of those four.
The animal print, yeah.
And they're pretty exclusive beers, and so I'm really looking forward to trying those too.
Because they do an animal print, but they don't do that one. Like, you know, I've seen animal print over the summer, but I didn't see like a variant on animal print over the summer. So
yeah, my favorite of all time is usually all of the Madagascars. So I definitely want to try the three variants, like this year's version of Madagascar, and then the Cocoa Coconut, and then the El Salvador, just because it's a fantastic beer, and get it before it kicks.
Sure. That's actually how I got like familiar with Four Hands as a brand, was going to these parties.
Okay.
I wasn't really on that page at all.
That what's the orange one? The like it's like a 4% orange zest one. That
oh
one.
Yeah. I don't remember what that's called.
That one is just
it's
like
not citywide, but I know.
It's
I know
such like you're... a good summer beer.
Mm-hmm.
From Four Hands.
Yeah, yeah, it's just like a nice warm weather. Yeah, I can't remember the name of it, but it's really good. Yeah.
It was so good, I forgot the name.
Yeah, that's so good, I forgot the name, yeah.
Yeah, but before we go, man, let's get into a little bit about Chicago hardcore craft beer, because you were saying you throw these parties, you know, at like the one at Fountainhead. You've been doing this kind of stuff for years. And I don't know if we talked on the show about, like, the kind of stuff you do in the beer industry and, like, the inspiration for hardcore craft and, like, just some of the things you get down with, man. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, a lot of it started back when in 2010, when I was really kind of getting into craft beer, and I kind of had no direction. I didn't know where to go. It's like anybody stepping into the new shoes of a place and being like, everything just seems fantastic. I just don't give me a direction.
I know that feeling in 2010.
So I want to give people directions. So like the whole concept was to educate people on what the craft beer industry has to offer, doing events that not only showcases the beers that are out there, but also specific locations. So the very first Dark Side that we did was actually the very first year that Emporium was open. So I thought it was a cool concept. At the end, the last Saturday of every year, January, I always have a video game party at my house that's like 12 hours long, and it's a bunch of beer, a bunch of junk food, and I figured, like, it would be really cool to make a beer event out of this, but then focus on one type of beer, and especially with dark beers, a lot of people don't really know too much about them, or they're scared of them, or they don't know where to begin, so this is a great opportunity to get some of the best stuff that's available for you to come try without having to, like, drop, you know, $10 on a bomber or $16 on a 4-pack or a 6-pack,
or go to a bar and just drink the same brewery's different variants all night,
right?
Like a Rev Night or a Goose Night at Mike's Pub or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So hardcore craft beer like pretty much started with the want to educate consumers on what's available out there, and also just throw some kick-ass parties. So as my usual gig, I'm also a marketing and designer. I'm a graphic designer, and so I do a lot of stuff within the beer industry as well. I worked with in importers, like artisanal imports, so everything from like La Trappe, Triple Carmelite, Quack, even stuff within town like Weiner and Dovetail.
Nice.
I've done a lot of stuff with Stone.
That's the first party I went to, was a Stone party at Timothy O'Toole's.
Mm-hmm. That was back in 2012. And honestly, like it's one thing that kind of leads to another, and I've been doing design work within the beer industry for a long time, whether it's been marketing, event promotion, event production, label design, logo design, doesn't matter what it is. It constantly kind of feeds itself. And so being plugged in, everybody knows that I speak the language. So if you need a logo design, you need a label design, I also know the parameters of the TTB, what needs to be on the label.
Okay.
I've done a lot of stuff for some breweries up in Michigan. I'm also brewing at a place up in Michigan. I do some brewing. So Antithesis is my project.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to say you brought Antithesis last time.
One of the times.
Yeah, one of the times.
2 times ago, yeah.
One of the few times that I've been here.
Yeah. It was kissed with a barrel. It was like really flash, like four months in a barrel, something like
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah, that was probably our Dower. That was our Imperial Stout in rye barrels. Hmm. So I'm very involved in that. And so I've worked with different bars on their beer program. I've been able to put together and help with getting them something specific, throwing different events, trying to get and shine some lights on what they could possibly do, upping their craft beer program to get them. I mean, no one out in the burbs is ever going to be like, you know, a Fountainhead or something in Chicago because there's just not enough traffic.
Yeah.
But if you can find a place out there that can be that, or I can grow that out there, that's kind of where my thing is. Like, there's so much stuff going on in the city.
But there are some gems out there. We talk about that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can go out there and find some spots that are fantastic regardless of where they are. Yeah.
So it's kind of a marriage between my design and my marketing ability, as well as my love of beer and wanting to like help influence people in bars and locations onto, you know, what good beer is, shine some light on where people need to go. Like, especially like when you come out to me, I'm like, well, we're going to hit all these places, you know, depending on how much time we have. And so I can do that instead of being like, well, I don't know, we have a Benny's.
Right on. I don't think we got it on the show before, like what you actually do. Mm-hmm. So I did want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. I usually say the list of what I can't do is probably shorter. Cause a lot of people come to me with just random projects too. I actually have, one of my clients actually left his company and is now starting a beer brand. And so I'm doing all of his, label packaging, promotional stuff, everything. Nice. For that, just because he's worked with me before. And I still do merchandise and stuff like that for Stone. I do a lot of other things. Like Metallica just came out with the Enter Night stuff with Stone. So I was there for their two kickoff events up in Milwaukee and Madison.
This fucker got to go see Metallica like three nights.
Two times in 48 hours. It was insane.
Crazy.
But I did the promotional stuff for that. I did the shirts. I did the new Enter Night shirts. All passed through Lars and the band, and also through Stone. So it's been a roller coaster. It's been fun though. It's been like really good projects, and so no complaints.
Like to hear about beer stuff, Brad.
Yeah,
right on.
That's awesome. No, great hearing your story. Great event, Dark Side coming up. Everyone should get tickets Saturday.
Yes. Are you coming?
I should come, finally. I keep saying I should go, and then
right where you live,
and then
man.
I get lazy on Sunday, and then I don't come.
Yeah.
It's so this is Emporium
Wicker
Park.
I fail every year.
Emporium Wicker Park. What's the date again for Dark Side?
It's the 24th.
All right.
So Sunday the 24th from noon. They open at noon, so you know, we there's always a line. You don't necessarily have to be in line. But it usually takes about 20 minutes to get through the entire line. Antique Tacos right next door. Great place for grub while you're there. $30 pre-sale tickets online all the way up until about 11 o'clock on the 23rd. So we give you every possible chance to save that $10 and get the pre-sale price.
But that's 40 at the door, right?
40 at the door.
Okay. Right. Nice. Great lineup. More beers than we mentioned here. So check that out. So, but where can people find more about it? So we'll have a link, website.
Facebook, hardcorecraftbeer.com. The first thing on the scrolling page is the Dark Side graphic. Don't find me on Twitter. Not on Twitter. I do post a couple things about Instagram. Emporium is posting a lot about it. They've got their co-hosts on the event page. There's information anywhere as long as you find either Emporium Arcade Bar or Hardcore Craft Beer.
Nice.
Just find one.
All right. Right. Nick, where can people find you, get in touch when we're not here?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Website chicagobeerpass.com. Everything gets posted there. Two episodes this week. Man. We're on a roll. We got Josh from the Kankakee Journal next week.
Yeah, Josh is coming up from the Kankakee to talk Brickstone and other stuff on the edge.
Mainly Brickstone, because he like lives there.
Yeah. And all the stuff on the outer edge, on the outer realm of our area.
Anything here that takes you having to stop at a rest stop to get there.
I gotta tell you.
Covers.
Yeah. Well, have you guys ever been to Distill? Speaking of stopping at rest stops to get
normal.
There.
I haven't. No.
It's
no.
That is. Like, that is out there. I mean, usually I stop there when I'm on my way to St. Louis.
Yeah. St. Dakara?
I haven't been to Bloomington mm-hmm. since friends graduated college. Yeah. So I haven't been in a long time.
I honestly was on my way to St. Louis, and I stopped off because I had to take a piss, and I was like, what is that? And I was like, that's distill, and it's huge. And so I stopped in there, and the facility was fantastic. Nice. I mean, it's humongous. The barrel room, like, you can look through the door into the barrel room, and it just goes on for, like, a mile. Everything there, the food looked great. I didn't eat there, but the whole experience was, like, amazing. But it's one of those places, like, I wouldn't have known where exactly it was, and nor would I have been there if I wasn't already on a trip, and I also had to stop off at a rest stop.
Yeah, yeah. But they were the darling of the beer world with their sours for, like,
a couple years between the St. Dakara stuff and the Dos Vidonia, I dare say, underrated brewery down there in Normal or wherever the hell they are.
They do some fantastic stuff.
They're really good, man. I like Distill a lot.
In the deep south.
In the deep south.
That's actually, if it was only that deep.
All right, we'll be back with that episode with Josh next week. Take care.
Cheers.